Week 2 of the preseason kicks off tonight. We're going to discuss that, along with some other things going on in the world of football. Let's go. Welcome into the Seagate Blitz Podcast. Thursday night, August the 17th. It's a rainy evening here in Ohio. Hopefully it's drier wherever you guys are at. Interesting week we've had here. We had the Hall of Fame game, you know, which kind of got the whole preseason kicked off. It was more like a, it's a fun thing, you know. It just signifies that football's back. Now we've had week one. All of the NFL teams have played one game. Some two with the Hall of Fame game. Now we're getting into week two. And I'll talk about the Browns and Eagles towards the end of the show. But week two is a little bit more entertaining. It's not as entertaining as week. Actually, week two now is probably the most entertaining of the weeks. You may see some starters. You may not. I mean, you're not going to see Joe Burrow, obviously. Some of those bigger name players, they're not going to play them. But, you know, you may see some starters. You're going to see the rookies again, which we saw some really good play from the rookies over the weekend. I mean, if you saw what Malik Cunningham did for the Patriots last week, that was pretty impressive. Tank Dell, he was very impressive in week one. So that's what we're looking for. You know, we're looking to see who can pop in these next 2 weeks. But before we get into any of that, we've got some breaking news we need to talk about, and we're going to dive into a few issues and some news.
Here's what we know.
Ah, yes. Earlier this week, it was announced on social media that the Colts have named rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson their starting quarterback week one of the regular season. I laughed at that. I actually scoffed at what this may become. Now, I've been met with some disdain and some pushback from a couple of people. That's fine. Look, we know throughout the course of history, quarterbacks that have only had 1 year of playing college football have struggled in the NFL. I know this guy's athleticism is ridiculous. I know that he is just an athletic freak. That I cannot take away from him. I've spoke about this on this podcast more than once, where I just don't know that that's going to get him through. He's made some really bonehead mistakes in college, and I think that's going to transfer over to the NFL. Should they let him season a little bit? My opinion, yes, but I'm just a dumb carpenter. He should wait. He should learn, and he needs more time to season. The Colts are going to throw him out there. I get it. You invested a lot of money in him, and I get it. You just throw him out there, and you take this week, you take this season for what it is, and, you know, it's a learning season, and you go with it. Probably one of the reasons why Jonathan Taylor wants out. With that being said, I would be foolish not to recognize what his potential could be in the NFL. Not this year and probably not next year. But if they are going to invest the time and to let him gain experience on the job training, you might say, then they're investing in this guy for the long haul. And this is just all my personal thoughts on it. Because Athleticism-wise, yes, head and shoulders above what Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck brought to that organization. Between the ears, I don't know. To be determined. We knew what Peyton Manning was. We knew what Andrew Luck was coming in to their rookie seasons. We knew. Colts fans, much like the Packers fans, have been spoiled over this past decade and two decades. Okay? Packers fans got Favre and Rodgers. Okay? And they're breaking in Jordan Love now. Okay? Definite fall off. Is Jordan Love a Hall of Famer? To be determined. Same with the Colts. They had Manning, and then they had Luck, and then they've had a run of bad luck. And now they're investing a lot in Anthony Richardson. Do I hope he succeeds? Heck no. I want to see him fall on his face. I do not want to see him succeed. I will be the first to admit it. I do not want that. I do not want to hear all the gator chirping in the background. It's going on all over social media. I do not want to hear it. Do not. So, I don't want to see him get hurt. I never want to see anybody get hurt. I just don't want to see him do good. So, you know, time will tell. You know, this season will be a learning curve for him. And we'll go from there. Next little bit of news. On my last podcast, we talked about two running backs who were still unsigned with football teams. That has since changed over the course of the last couple of days. Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, now finding teams. Cook to the Jets, Zeke to the Patriots. I was going to do a instant reaction pod to Dalvin Cook going to the Jets, but I was just too tired that day and just didn't want to do it. So I've had a couple of days, let this sink in. Here's what it tells me. It tells me Breece Hall is not ready for week one. Breece Hall may not be ready for the first month of the season. So they paid him $8 million to come in and play football for a month, maybe month and a half, until Breece Hall is ready to play. And then if it's going to be a timeshare or a split time, our fantasy stocks on both of those players hit the toilet. Now, I thought it was kind of ironic that shortly after they signed Dalvin Cook, Breece Hall was activated off the PUP list. I thought that was kind of interesting, a little twist of business. But now he's practicing. So are they going to run a two-headed monster out there? Because if they're going to run a two-headed monster out there, I'm going to tell you right now, Dalvin Cook is still better than Breece Hall. Now, I heard Adam Rank talk about it's the other way around. Dalvin Cook's past his prime. You know, Breece Hall's coming into his. Breece Hall's coming off an ACL injury, people. I've seen it take a year before people can come back once they've even started playing. So I think this year, and I've seen every time I listen to podcasts and people talking about drafts and things like that, they're drafting Breece Hall still ahead of Dalvin Cook. I can't do that right now. I got Dalvin Cook ahead of Breece Hall just because he's ready to go. He's going to need a couple weeks to get in shape. He has that. Breece Hall, we don't know about. The only thing that we're certain about on ACL injuries is they're all tricky and they're all different. Javonte Williams, he looks fantastic. He looks fantastic. He's ready to go. Breece Hall, reports are saying, not so much. Zeke Elliott to the Patriots. I put a thing on social media, had a picture of him wearing the 15 that he wore at Ohio State. Above it, I wrote, cut by week 6. It took him this long to get him signed, to get him in there. Took him this long to find a team. You could say the same thing about Dalvin Cook. Well, Dalvin Cook was a money grab. Dalvin Cook doesn't have the wear and tear, and Dalvin Cook isn't spent at the running back position. Two different, totally different plays right there, for only being 1 year different in the NFL. This is an insurance thing for me, for the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Okay, if Ramondre Stevenson doesn't do what he needs to do, Zeke could come in, goal line back, do some things. I don't see Zeke as a viable fantasy option. And what have I always said about New England running backs? They are terrible for fantasy. This is even worse. So don't think just because he went there that all of a sudden his career is resurrected and he lost a bunch of weight and he got his legs back under him, because those things don't happen. So as far as those two signings, I really just couldn't. I like the landing spot for Cook to the Jets, just because I think he's going to get some playing time, and if he's playing well, you know, maybe you just keep resting Breece Hall. If you're crazy mad and going crazy about having both of them in the same league, or both of them now in multiple leagues like I do, having multiple shares of both of them, now they're on the same team, you've really got to pay attention to what they're doing week to week with Breece Hall. And then you're going to have to make a decision. Well, is it 1 week it's Cook and 1 week it's Breece Hall? Then it's going to turn you. You're going to go crazy. You're going to go insane. Which one do I start? Well, you got two choices. You don't start either, or you pick one and ride that one. Because you can't try to guess like you do with New England running backs. Like, well, maybe, you know, last week it was Breece. Maybe this week it's Dalvin Cook. Don't do that, because you're going to lose out 9 times out of 10. So you got two choices. You pick with one, you roll with that one. You're going to have good weeks and bad weeks. If you can afford it, great. Most of us can't. We need production out of every possible slot. That's why we play them. Or once it gets to that, you don't play either one, and you just go a different route. That sucks, I know. Or maybe you just take one, and he's your very last flex play, and I'm going to put him in here, and if he does something, great. If not, you know, I'm hoping for a touchdown at this point. We'll see. All to be determined. Moving on, the AP released its preseason top 25 for the college football season. We'll get into that. If you listen to an episode I had a while back, I actually did my preseason top 10, which I had never done before. So I got my preseason top 10. I got the AP top 25. Let's compare notes on how I did. Okay. Obviously, we're all going to get number one right. I had Georgia number one. They had Georgia number one. Now it changes things up. I had OSU number two. They have Michigan two. They have Ohio State three. Bama four. I got them flipped. I got Bama 3, Michigan 4. So I had the top 4, just didn't have them in the same order. At 5, I had Florida State. They have LSU. At 6, hey, I got USC. They got USC. Here's where we get a little bit of difference. 7 is Penn State. I had Texas. I still like Texas in this position. I like Texas a lot. 8 is Florida State, coming in 8th, starting the season top 10 for the first time in several years. I had LSU week 1. Look, I had them flip-flopped, okay? I have FSU 5, LSU 8. It's flip-flopped in the polls. That's going to take care of itself week 1 anyway, okay? Whoever wins that game, I mean, we're talking maybe top 4 right off the bat. So I just had them flip-flopped. Coming in at 9, Clemson. I had Tennessee. I still like Tennessee with Joe Milton, a quarterback this year. He's got good receivers. He's still got a couple of good running backs in there. Tennessee is on the up and coming. I really like Tennessee. At 10, I had Penn State. Washington comes in at number 10. If you remember back to that episode, I said there were three or four teams. You could put three or four of these teams right here in the top ten. Wouldn't be surprised. Notre Dame was one of them. Washington was one of them. So, recapping the top ten, the AP top ten, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Bama, LSU, USC, Penn State, Florida State, Clemson, Washington. I didn't do bad. Pretty good run there. You know, could have went either way. Finishing us out, okay, I had Texas at 7. They have Texas at 11. Probably with the loss of Bijan Robinson, they're going to take a hit because no matter who it is, Jonathan Brooks or C.J. Baxter, neither one of those guys is going to do what Bijan Robinson did. I like both those guys. Still like Texas. Texas has a very tough schedule the first part of the season. I think they play Alabama in week 2. Going on, 12, Tennessee, 13, Notre Dame, 14, Utah, 15, Oregon, Kansas State comes in at 16th, Texas Christian at 17th, Oregon State, 18th, Wisconsin, 19th, 20th is Oklahoma, North Carolina, 21st, Ole Miss, 22nd, A&M, 23rd, I think that's generous, Tulane, 24th, and running out of top 25, Iowa. You know, if you look up and down the rankings here, and I've been on all the social media sites and the message boards and listen to podcasts, and people are mad about FSU being ranked number 8. I'm really not. Okay, they've got a lot to prove. They've done really nothing for the past, let's call it 6 years. Other than last year, they really had a really good year. So they've got something to prove. Them being ranked ahead of Clemson, I'm fine with. That's going to be a big game. They play in the first month of the season. A lot of things are going to get shaken out. People say they should be higher. I don't mind the 8. I really don't mind the 8. I think Penn State coming in at 7, breaking in a new quarterback, I think that's generous. LSU at 5th, I think. I mean, it could be anywhere in there. In the top 15, you know, these teams could have all peaked into the top 10, and that wouldn't have been surprising. Texas, Tennessee, I had both of those guys in my top 10. I still like both of those teams this year. Oregon State, to me, is interesting. I think it's going to be fun to watch what they can do and see if they are deserving of that 18th ranking. Going down the list here the rest of the way, Texas A&M has a lot to prove. Tulane is riding on the coattails of what they did last season. I wouldn't be surprised if they were the first team that got bumped out of the top 25. They have a great quarterback, and they played really good last year, but I think they're only there just for the simple fact is of what they'd done last year. So we'll see. All in all, we got 1 week from this Saturday. Week 0 kicks off. There are some decent games. I think Notre Dame plays Navy maybe in week 0. That'll be a decent game. There's some lower tier schools that play in week 0. But week 0 is going to kick off the our college season. So we have to get ready for it because it's here. It's a week from this Saturday. It's go time. Looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. Preseason week 2 starts tonight, 7:30, NFL Network, I do believe. Eagles-Browns. You might kind of curl up your nose and say, ugh, because, I mean, I do. I say, ugh. But I still want to see some of these younger talent players get in. I really want to see if any of the starters for Cleveland play. I don't think we'll see Nick Chubb. But I think Deshaun Watson needs to play. For the Eagles, I don't know that we need to see Jalen Hurts. I don't think that we do. They may play him for a series. I'll be all for that. I wouldn't expect to see anybody really play any long length of time. With the NFL switching from 4 preseason games to 3 preseason games, you're now at a little bit of a disadvantage. Before week 3 was kind of like the week where your starters go, and that's more like your dress rehearsal, and then week 4, it's all about players trying to make the team. Now we've become a little bit different. It's a little bit different, and everybody plays it a little bit different. So that's another intriguing aspect to the preseason is, are we going to get to see certain players play? Last week we didn't see Dak Prescott. We didn't see CeeDee Lamb. They play this week. I would expect to see them play a little bit. Teams that have that are learning new offenses with new coordinators or new coaches, I expect to see that kind of thing. I expect to see them play. Some of the teams, you know, Kansas City has nothing to prove running Patrick Mahomes out there the entire preseason. Maybe one drive just to knock off some ring rust. You just don't want to see these people get hurt. Okay, with the money they're paying players this day and age, the risk of them getting hurt in the preseason, to me, outweighs them being a little rusty for the first couple weeks to get it going. Because if you get hurt in a regular season, at least, you know, it's the regular season. So, I believe, well, let me back up. When they changed it to 3 preseason games last year, I was all for it. I'm like, the less the better. They extended the NFL regular season. Some people don't even like that. I was listening to one analyst. He doesn't like the extra game in a regular season. I do. It makes it more meaningful. It expands our fantasy one more week, expands our playoffs. It gives you one more chance to maybe clinch a playoff spot for fantasy. Same with the NFL. It gives the NFL teams one more chance to claim that last possible playoff spot or win a division or whatever. So I'm all for it. But as I get a little bit more experience under my belt and I see these preseason games, to me they mean a little bit less and less. Obviously, we don't care who wins. Obviously, the score means nothing. Unless you play preseason fantasy football, which if you do, you've got a real problem. But the preseason games are meaningless as far as score goes. But what's not meaningless is these players who are vying for a team trying to make a roster. Okay, now are they going to be fantasy relevant? Probably not. Which brings me to my last point of the evening. Undrafted rookie free agents. This is the last thing on my list for tonight. Throughout my experiences and watching football, playing fantasy for 100 million years, if there's one thing that really kind of holds true from year to year, is if you're an undrafted free agent and you sign with a team after the NFL draft, I'm sorry, people, your odds of making it in the NFL are just extremely low. There have been some exceptions, and I do know that. But on a whole, if you're putting stock in these undrafted free agents, don't put a lot of stock into them. Do not draft them in your drafts. Wait and pick them up after free agency and shove one or two of them in a taxi round. Okay, do not draft them. Unless it's just somebody that you just absolutely love and you have to have on your team, then by all means, it's your team. But if you are trying to competitively play the fantasy football game, don't waste your draft picks on undrafted free agents. It just very, very seldom works out for you. You are really just kind of throwing something at a wall and hoping that it sticks. I say all of that to say one major thing. I've told you this before on this podcast. Make every draft pick count. Okay, if you've got a 10-round draft and you've only got 8 picks because you traded a couple of them away or whatever, you make those 8 picks count. Don't just say, okay, I'm done. I got, you know, I still have 2 picks left, but there's nothing left. No, find somebody that you may think is good. Okay, a diamond in the rough. I went through our Devy League after the Devy Hitman League after the draft, and I found 3 defensive players taken in the top 3 rounds that were available. I snatched them up. Okay? They got draft capital. Teams have invested in these players. Okay? take your time, research the player. Look him up. Look at the depth chart. See how far down he is. If he's so far down the depth chart he's never going to play, there's no sense in rostering him. Because you're just wasting a roster spot on somebody who actually may be playing. Toughest position to me to fill this day and age is wide receiver. Because we've changed our process for fantasy. We're doing 2 and 3 running backs. It's running back by committee on pretty much across the board. There are a few exceptions, obviously. But now we're getting to the point where PPR leagues and 1.5 PPR are winning over the running backs. So to me, if I'm going to have to dig deep to find me a wide receiver, I'm going to have to dig deep and do my due diligence and see, well, is it worth it? Yes, he was a big name in college. Yes, he was. Big name wide receiver in college. Look at the landing spot. Look at the depth chart. And is it really worth your time? If he was a top pick in the, I don't know, first 4 rounds, take a shot. Anything after round 5, you're iffy. 6 and 7, now you're just hoping they pop and you can pick them up on free agency. Make all your draft spots count. Or at least have a reason for drafting them. Just don't say, well, I'm going to take a guy here just because I need another running back. No, don't do that. You may cut him. Or you may miss out on somebody else while you were doing that. So, I mean, those are those are some of the thoughts where my thought process goes on where I'm at with certain players. Now, the high-end draft picks, you know you're going after them. You know you're going after Bijan and Jackson Smith and Jigba. And if you want Anthony Richardson, more power to you. But it's the ones that are tween or are, you know, iffy, maybe. Yes, this guy was taken in the 4th round. I'm going to take a shot on him. Make your draft picks count. That'll do it. Enjoy the preseason games tonight. There's one tomorrow night as well. And then we'll be all over Saturday and Sunday. My name is Chris Charles Ball. Thank you for listening to the Seagap Blitz podcast. I'm available everywhere you find your podcast. Find me on Twitter @SeagapBlitz. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.